You are now listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
Here we are again, Mr. Stewart.
Again, just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
We've already done that. We're plagiarising
ourselves, but no, it is. Every time I hear that, it's one of those things, though. Is there lyrics? Every time I hear somebody says, it's better to be safe than sorry,
yeah,
I have to say, take on me.
Absolutely.
From A-ha's classic, take on me. I can't not do it.
Do you ever notice that the older you get, every situation has a song attached to it? Or if there isn't, you start singing a song that's attached to it. You start taking the lyrics out of one song and putting your own spin in it. Like if you get into the car and you bang your head, it's like, oh, I banged my head on the car, you know, or something like that. I know I find myself doing it. It's just like, oh, I'm getting old.
I keep on hearing songs that that my stepfather used to sing, you know, in a kind of a crooner kind of voice or an old country singer kind of voice around the house.
Yeah.
And when I hear them, I sing along in that same kind of tone of voice. Mm. Like I don't sing like I sing. I'm singing
it like him.
It's weird.
It is strange when certain sounds or certain phrases evoke a need to sing something. Like every time I hear a certain pitch of a bell, ding,
right,
you know, and there's a sound on my phone that does that, or on a friend of mine's phone, when that goes off, all of a sudden I break into our life together is so precious. You know, it's like I'm breaking into a John Lennon song because of that bell at the beginning of it, you know, just like starting over. It always happens.
Yeah.
Or it's in my head and I've got to sing it.
Wow.
It's almost Tourette's like,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, take on me. Like, I'm forever doing that one. Like, that's a.
Better to be safe than sorry.
That's a. Yeah. That is all. Yeah. That is. I have to just say the words. Even if I don't sing it, I have to say the words. And if I don't say it, it's not superstition or anything. It just feels weird if I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like. Those words follow those words.
That's right.
How it works.
That's part of the cultural lexicon of who we are.
I was going to say everything is right in the universe.
Yeah.
I was going a little bit further.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, hey, bugger that. Let's go for the universal component of it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why music is so powerful.
It is indeed, man.
It certainly is.
Well, anybody who's new here to the, if you're kind of listening in reverse order and you haven't
anyone who's new here, you're late.
Yes.
There's been four other episodes which you can binge on as well.
You're not that late, which is good.
No.
And we try to keep this to a bingeable length.
Yeah.
We're not going in for the marathon, you know, 3-hour podcast or anything like that.
Give it time.
Yeah. Look, occasionally.
Give it time.
Occasionally it may get a little bit out of hand, but generally about 30 to 40 minutes. If you want to connect with us, you can do that. We've got a Facebook page you can follow. We've also set up Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, which are the Soul Trader PC. Now, the reason why it's PC is because we're so politically correct. No podcast, obviously, but Twitter doesn't allow anything long enough to have Soul Trader Podcast or the Soul Trader Podcast.
But I like Macs.
Thanks, Twitter. Yes.
Soul Trader Mac, no.
Exactly.
Let's not open that can of worms.
You won't find any tweets there or pictures on Instagram or what do you call them on TikTok? Talks or ticks or TikToks or... Any, whatever.
I don't know.
Whatever they're referred to.
I'm not on TikTok.
Posts.
I should call them look.
Posts. But there's nothing there yet, but we will be doing, we'll catch up with a bit of stuff, add some sound bites on those kind of platforms that support that. And obviously Twitter, you know, feel free to engage with us there. Good place to go and ask us questions. And certainly in the future when we have guests on, they're the kind of places, like certainly the Twitter would be a great place to fire questions at us that we can then kind of fire at a guest.
Mm.
But anyway, I was gonna address a couple of things from previous episodes, which I forgot to last week because we were speaking to Darren and we said he should call himself the Zaza and kind of had a bit of a poke at the edge. And I just wanted to say that
the edge this was episode 3.
That was episode 3, yeah.
If you haven't binged that yet, you'll get to it. You'll get to it.
We just wanted to make it abundantly clear that we have nothing against the edge, and if he ever wants to be on the podcast, it would be a pleasure to talk. What's his real name? I'm assuming he has one.
I'll Google it.
I'm assuming he wasn't born the edge.
Yeah.
I'm assuming his dad's not Mr. Edge, and he
does have a birth certificate with another name other than Edge.
I would actually be fascinated to talk to him because I've lived in Ireland and it's a very humble, non-bullshit kind of place. And we were joking that if Darren called himself the Zaza, people wouldn't want to play with him and they'd think he's a bit of a wanker.
Yeah, but that's an Australian thing. But
it's interesting that somebody who's Irish would maybe take on a name like that. I'd love to know kind of how it kind of eventuated.
I should
research the history of you too.
But then again, I mean, the whole sort of thing about I am the Zaza, oh, you're a wanker, you know. In Australia, that's not necessarily a term in which, you know, we're saying that you're a bad person by saying that. It's a term of endearment. It's like, oh, g'day, you bloody bastard. You know, I suppose in America they would look at that and go, oh, he's really angry at him. Whereas all that we're saying is g'day.
And the interesting thing in Australia, for people outside Australia may not know this, but it's pretty obvious inside Australia, is that generally band names get abbreviated to kind of the last word with the in front of it. So, and now I'm going to go, I've had a complete mental blank. I can't remember any Australian.
And an example of that would be Simon Watt. I mean, yes, Australia. It's a very Australian thing to do.
Foo Fighters would be the Fighters. Like, if they were an Australian band, that's what they'd be called. It would just be
I suppose.
And it's like, it's no shorter than the Foo Fighters. Like, Foo Fighters. It's just like, I mean,
a good example would be Midnight Oil.
The Oils. Right.
So it's like, oh, the Oils.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be an example. But in excess.
You
couldn't really shorten that, could you?
No. But Powderfinger are lovingly referred to for a lot of their fans as the Finger.
And really?
Yeah.
I've not heard that.
No, that's the thing. I could go, that's ridiculous.
Like, so the fans could call themselves the Fingered.
Indeed. We may warn that this podcast may not be for children under the ages of 13 or something like that.
If you have to explain that, then just cover the ears.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm actually fascinated to know where he kind of got that name. But anyway.
The edge. So who else are we grovelling to?
We have nothing against the edge. Last week we mentioned Beyonce.
I do. He has a dodgy moustache. No, it doesn't. He doesn't. I'm just being silly.
Does he have
a... Beyonce has a dodgy moustache.
I can't even remember what he looks like. He has a beanie. He wears a beanie.
He does. He does wear a beanie. But then again, it's cold in Ireland.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
One day we'll talk about me sleeping in my car in Ireland. But that's not for another episode. We mentioned her last week in our kind of songwriting thing. We have nothing against Beyonce either.
Oh, look, yeah. And the context of that is we were talking about...
We're having a robust conversation.
Having a robust conversation about songwriting factories and how pop music at the moment seems to be written by committee. And so I was having a senior moment sort of trying to spill out that songs are written by committee and then part of the committee is the artist who will take a cut of the royalties even though they didn't really contribute to anything. And I just mentioned Beyonce as an example because, okay.
She may or may not have contributed.
No. So I was just thinking of, okay, Beyonce just came to my head. I could have said Lady Gaga, but she's actually incredibly talented pianist. Not saying that Beyonce isn't talented. However, I've never seen her behind a piano. So, yeah.
Well, it was. I mean, it's.
I haven't had any phone calls from her being really angry.
Saying, I know.
I'm going to get my sister Solange onto you. You know, it's like, that's not going to happen.
She hasn't cancelled her booking for being on the podcast.
That's right. That's because we've not booked her in yet.
Oh, damn. Actually, talking about Beyonce, she's married to Jay-Z.
No, or Jay-Z, as we would say in Australia.
Actually, one of those couples was separating. Hang on, because there's Kim Kardashian and
Kanye West. And
were they? One of them. No, maybe it was them.
Who cares?
One of them was living separately, but let's not get into that. But anyway, I sent you a link to a podcast the other day, which, not a podcast. It's almost a podcast style discussion, which is uninterrupted, and it's The Shop, which is LeBron James.
You did message me that, yeah.
And it was a fascinating kind of little story by Jay-Z about performing with DMX.
Yes.
And the thing I thought was fascinating is that we were talking back when we first met, and that I was intimidated about. I didn't follow you, but I said that after I saw you play, I'm glad I didn't follow you.
Mm.
And Jay-Z was talking about going on tour with DMX.
Same way with DMX.
And after he saw DMX kind of perform and just get the crowd into it, might kind of tell the whole story, but he was kind of like, ooh, and I have to go through... What did he say? Like 20 or 30 dates?
No, it's like 53 shows. Yeah. I've got 53 shows of this.
And it was interesting, actually. He spoke about, and this is probably a lesson for any artist, he spoke about, I had to find my place in that show.
Yes.
What was I bringing to the table? And just hearing that was kind of like.
And I liked his solution because DMX was all about the show, the pyrotechnics, the taking the shirt off, the dramatic sort of bits and pieces.
The real energy.
It's Jay-Z. We're in Australia, right? Not Z. But anyway, he said, I rap better than him. Yes. So he had a lot of sections where the band would stop playing and he'd just rap.
He did a lot of acapellas.
But that's his way of fitting in. And obviously it worked well because he's one of the richest bloody rapping hip-hop moguls in the world. It's obviously done very well. It's not like he won the lottery and that's how he made his money.
No, and it's interesting that kind of basically, you know, for any artist that's in that position, not at that level obviously, but, you know, the level we were talking about, is that me following you once, it was nerve-wracking, whereas now I know what I bring to the table. So now following you, I wouldn't be nervous.
No, should you?
No, but it's just interesting that just finding that where you fit and what you bring to the table and what your strengths and weaknesses are, and play to those strengths and weaknesses. So, you know, I might follow somebody who's a really great guitarist and not a strong singer, for example.
Yes.
So my thing is, I go, well, I think my voice is pretty good. That's one of my strengths. So I'm going to come out, and that's my thing. Is I think good songs, good voice, the guitar playing is there to support it. But playing guitar is not my, you know, speciality, really. It's not like I'm going to, you know, go Tommy Emmanuel on the guitar or anything. Mm. And so, yeah, it was interesting to kind of bring that up just because even those guys at that level have those anxieties. But again, they search for their place in fitting in. And, you know, just as an up-and-coming artist, if you're in that position, you know, search for what your strengths are and play to those. They often say, you know, the old saying, which is you need to, or the thing is about strengthen your, you know, need to work on your weaknesses. I don't know who said it, but there was a motivational speaker who said, don't work on your weaknesses. They'll always be your weaknesses. Just make sure your strengths are just undefeatable.
Yeah.
And, you know, your weaknesses won't matter if you really, and to a degree that's true. Like, I work on my voice being the best it can be and making sure my songs are really strong. And I do try to get better on the guitar and try to always expand what I'm doing. But I'm not obsessed by going, I need to be, you know, brilliant on the guitar as well.
Yeah.
Because it's not never going to be the thing that, you know, people walk away just going, he was really good on the guitar. I mean, I have young people come up and go, I really like guitar playing, but that's because they're thinking, they're learning the guitar themselves.
Yeah, they're coming at it from a different angle. But it doesn't matter what sort of where you are on the spectrum of just starting out or you know, career professional, it's you're going to have those anxieties.
Yep.
It's just how you deal with it. And that's a case in point with the Jay-Z example, you know.
Yeah.
He had the presence of mind to think about the situation and find a way through it rather than let it get the better of him.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can all take a lesson from that. But, I mean, we're all... No two people are the same, and that's one of the beautiful things about humanity is that, you know, there's only one of you and one of me, and there will always be one of you and one of me and one of anyone who's listening to the podcast, for instance. What you bring to the table is who it is that you are.
It's unique no matter what.
It's the uniqueness of it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you might have someone who's, you know, really good at the bells and whistles, and you might sit there and think to yourself, well, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be really boring compared to this guy with the bells and whistles. But then again, you might deliver a song that quietens the whole room and you can hear a pin drop. And personally, for me, that is far more powerful than someone letting off pyrotechnics, taking their shirt off and doing all that sort of stuff and all that sort of drama. I'd much rather hear the more subtle and sublime.
Yeah.
But that's a personal preference as well. So, I mean, everyone brings anything to the table just in the fact of their, because of who they are. You know, they are a unique individual in a world of, you know, 7 billion of us. You know, there's only one of you and one of me and one of everybody.
Yeah.
You know.
I was going to say there's a lot to unpack there, because I was going to say I grew up listening to Kiss, which is, you know,
the ultimate in pyrotechnics.
But if I my feeling obviously with that, I mean,
but they don't pretend to be anything else but, though.
No, but also they are good songwriters.
Like, of course they are.
And you're not going to last long if you don't. But I get your point as well, because there's nothing like having a real kind of mellow acoustic musical experience where it's, say, just a piano and a voice or a guitar and a voice,
yeah,
and it's just pure and very simple. And even Paul Stanley says, if you can't play a song on an acoustic guitar with a single vocal, it'd be good, it's not a good song.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is, you know, I mean, what a lot of solo performers do.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you can't pull that song off in that environment, it doesn't matter how much noise you chuck around it. And I think we spoke about that when I said about one of my early performances between two thrash bands, where I was just standing up there,
yeah,
guitar and voice, and not hiding behind anything. But
I'd love to see you do a slow acoustic version of I Was Made for Loving You.
I do a slow version of Sure Know Something.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
I kind of... yeah, I should actually record that and put it online.
Or Shandy.
See,
that'd be cool too.
I would love to do all those songs. The interesting thing is that I can also do those songs, and I'm not, there's certainly never any disrespect involved, because I'm such a big fan.
Yeah.
That, it's all good. But, we're 18 minutes in and we're just chilling, kicking back. But what I was going to say is
we did
talk a little bit early on about just addressing something from previous week, but I thought we might pick up what we were talking about last week a little bit. I mean, we were talking about online success and a whole range of things, and it's certainly not a black and white area. We were talking a little bit about, like, kind of fame for the sake of being famous and wanting that, and then obviously being the arts kind of end. And, you know, you'll get a whole lot of debate, but there's obviously, you know, it's not black and white, and there's so many shades of grey in between.
Yeah, probably more than 50, I would imagine.
Yes. He was in Adelaide, actually, the actor from the movie, and somebody said, did anybody see this actor in town? And I'm going, who's that actor? And it was like, had to read underneath to know who he was and what movie it was.
Did you walk up to him and smack him in the mouth?
I saw him in a picture, so I didn't see him in the street.
Okay.
If I'd seen him in the street, I wouldn't know who he was. But anyway, one thing we were talking about at the end of last week's show was, it's interesting, in America, And it probably still exists now. There used to be a thing, payola, which was paying for radio play. Yeah. And that used to be a pretty common thing. There's actually a great story that I'll very briefly tell, if that's okay. Savage Garden. Heard this from Savage Garden's manager.
Right.
And basically they released their first album, big success in America, and they were worried about doing their second album. And so they had a movie, an opportunity to have a movie, a song on a movie soundtrack. And so they, I think it's the Animal song, and it was on a movie soundtrack, and they were like, perfect. It means the stress of the second album is relieved by this single that's not on that album.
Mm.
But what they did is that, this song got picked up by all these radio stations, and it was being played before, you know, anybody else had heard of it, and everybody was getting excited about this song. And the manager just goes, you know, we paid those DJs to play that song. That's just how it works.
Mm.
You know, they didn't pick it up. It wasn't an accident. It was intentional. We took the song to those DJs and paid them to play the song. They played the song. They made it successful. And the second album then became easy. And he just said that's how the business is kind of done. It's frowned upon, the whole payola kind of system, to a degree. And it's certainly meant to be illegal in Australia. I think it happens, to be honest.
It's got to. But see, that's strategy.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, and people talk about record companies and you've got to get played on Triple J because Triple J is pure and it's not commercial radio. And it's just like, if you don't think record companies pay money to get played on Triple J and test their, it might and not test their music out.
Yeah, but
Triple
it might J. not necessarily be money. It might be other incentives as well. Mm. It could be gifts. I mean, I don't know about the ABC, because being a public broadcaster and being a public servant, you're not supposed to get gifts from other people. But you know, it could be they'll take you out to lunch.
Yeah,
you know, or they might have a goodie bag for you or something full of trinkets. I don't know, but it might not necessarily be money. But I mean, there is an exchange of, you know, one thing for another and favours. You know,
I once had a friend say, "You should listen to Triple J because all the music that gets played on commercial radio that's good gets played on Triple J first." And I said, right, so if I just wait, I don't have to listen to all the stuff that's bad that they play. I can just get the good stuff that moves from Triple J to everywhere else and become successful. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to try it out. But one of the things that's happening now more and more, and we spoke about this briefly, is that people are paying for likes. They're paying for followers. So you can pay for anything. So you can pay for likes or followers on Facebook or Instagram. You can do it on. You can pay for YouTube views. Yeah. You can pay for
tweets, I suppose.
You could probably pay for people to like a tweet retweets.
Yeah.
But you can certainly pay for listens on Spotify and Apple Music and followers.
Mm-hmm.
And the classic example. I mean, it's not hard to game the system. But the question is: is it right? Is it right to? Is it right or wrong to kind of pay for that?
Yeah. Good question. I suppose when you are talking about payola, or just the concept of paying a DJ to play, a radio DJ to play your song, there's something quantifiable about that.
Of course, absolutely.
Whereas if you're paying for likes, it's just a bot or someone pressing a button, you know. It's like there's no effort involved as well. But I think people who are paying for likes or subscriptions or paying for anything which can be gained organically, they have, I suppose, the premise that they've got in their mind is that the more of this I have, the more I'm going to be taken seriously, the more advantages or the more opportunities I'm going to get if I have lots and lots of likes on my Facebook page, for instance, if they're going for a gig at the festival, and straight away the booker of the festival says, right, I just want to see how many likes you are, and that will determine to me how good you are. If that's the only metric that they're looking at, well then, okay, it would be a strategy to pay to get a whole heap of likes, and then they look at it, and then you get the gig. But you still got to do the gig and do the show and do it well. And say, for instance, you pay for all these likes, you get the gig and you're shit.
Or nobody turns up.
Or nobody turns up because all of a sudden, oh, these likes, these people that are supposed to like you aren't, you know, they don't exist. Or they're computer programs in India or something like that. Then you've just been found out.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, how about just doing some work and getting it organically rather than paying for it?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a hollow victory.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking.
It's basically short-term thinking rather than looking at your career as a long-term, looking at the long game. The long game is you put in the work, you do the right things, you're going to get the likes and the subscriptions and the bits and pieces anyway. If you do all the things right and you direct to fan marketing and all of that sort of thing. If you do all those things right, you're going to get those in the long run. It's just people don't want to wait. They don't want to take their time. They don't want to do what is necessary to gain things organically. So they try and game the system, but it's going to bite you in the butt at the end.
Yeah,
if you don't follow through with being what you say you are, or at least being the quality of act that people would perceive you to be with all those likes behind you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think that it's, it's interesting that I think some people get tricked. I think some people think that they're getting some sort of, somebody promotes themselves as a, online promoter. Yeah. You contact them and they look like they're somebody worth following or worth paying money to do stuff for you. I mean, the classic example is if somebody says they're an online promoter, go and look at their Instagram. You know, if any of their posts are, we'll get you this many likes for $20 or whatever, that it's a scam.
Yeah.
That, as far as I'm concerned, it's a scam. If you can't talk to the person directly on the telephone, it's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't have, a Zoom meeting with that person,
mm-hmm.
it's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not paying reasonable money for a reasonable professional to do their job, it's a scam. They're just getting bots to listen to your music. Now, as you say, there may be those benefits, and that's the thing. I don't know quite where I land on it, in the sense that you were talking about hollow victories, and it's like, how do you celebrate going? Imagine if you had a song and it gets 10,000 listens, and you're sitting there just kind of, and all your friends are going, wow, that song of yours got 10,000 listens. And you're sitting there going, yeah, but I paid somebody $20 or $50 to get those 10,000 listens.
Yeah, I got some guy off of Fiverr to do it for
me. Yeah, and therefore, it doesn't really feel.
Well, that depends on your conscience. You know, some people wouldn't think any of it. And I mean, look, you know, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, okay, look. The system is as it is, and human nature will determine that, you know, people will find the easiest way to do the most work.
The easiest way? Oh, you mean the easiest way to do the most work?
Or do the least work to get the best result.
Yes, I thought that's what you were meaning.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So you're always going to have people that are trying to get something for nothing. And yeah. I personally wouldn't do it, but that doesn't mean that, you know, it should be banned or anything. It's like, it's the system, it's how it is at the moment. And if there are ways to cover up those loopholes or whatever, well, then fine. If not, well, then people will just look for these little bits and pieces, these little loopholes to exploit. That's just human nature. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to do something like that, at least back it up with some talent. At least back it up.
Yeah.
And if you don't back it up, you're going to get found out. And then that short-term victory is going to turn into long-term pain, because no one else is going to want to work with you, because for all of the music industry's so-called corruption and all that sort of stuff, just take Milli Vanilli, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden it was found out that they didn't sing on their album. No one wanted to touch him with with someone else's barge pole. And yet the music industry is supposed to be one of the most corrupt industries around. But you fake your voice and they'll all get pious on them.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't back it up with talent, well, then your short-term gain is going to turn into long-term pain. So just if you're going to look at, you know, paying for these sort of things, just think about it, you know. Are you going to back it up? If you're not going to back it up, you're going to get found out.
Yeah, and the challenge is that if you start paying for it...
So when does it stop?
Yeah, because a career is built on momentum. And it's just like, exactly, if you pay for, you know, 10,000 listens or likes or whatever, and then you kind of go, well, I better pay for a bit more to try to make it look like it's building.
Yeah.
But then if you ever stop paying...
Yeah.
And it drops back down.
It's a house of cards, mate.
It could quickly fall apart. Yeah. And it used to be interesting. Spotify have actually now removed the listen count.
Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So why do you think they've done that?
So basically, yeah, you used to be able to scroll to the bottom of a Spotify artist page, and it had monthly followers and monthly listens.
Yeah.
And I think Spotify probably removed the monthly listens so people can't go, hang on a sec, you didn't pay me enough. I got all these listens last month and, you know, if they're getting a lot. So
Couldn't they go through their stats anyway?
Probably. I don't know. Maybe it's just the public stuff. But what you actually find is that if the followers and the listens don't line up, like if there's not a similarity there.
Okay.
If one's
really obvious that you've paid for something.
Yeah. And you can pay for a whole bunch of fake Spotify accounts and it'll make it look like you've got lots of monthly listeners.
Yeah.
But then they're fake accounts, so they never actually listen to you. So then your numbers don't add up. So then, I need to make my listens look like my followers. So then you might pay for a bunch of listens, get a bunch of listens.
Yeah.
But then... it drops down again, so they've hidden that number, so you can't actually see it. It's not quite as. I've seen people with, like, you know, 50,000 followers, and they get, you know, 3,000 listens, and then you look at an artist where you definitely know they've got a bit more status, and they might be like 15 and 15 almost. You know, like, so obviously not everybody's listening every month, but enough are listening that those numbers stay similar-ish.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so it becomes pretty obvious, and as you say, I just think it's generally going to be, it's just going to feel, I would think it feels hollow. But what we were talking about before is, in previous episode, we were talking about people who were wanting to be famous for the sake of being famous and don't really care about that.
Mm.
You know, if you just want to be able to try to swan about and go, look at me, I'm successful, when your talent maybe doesn't back it up, and in reality, that's not actually happening. And you were talking before about getting booked on a festival or something like that. And that definitely happens, where you see people getting booked and you're thinking, okay. But it should be, and this is where, you know, as a booker, they may need to be a little bit, you know, a while ago you could just go, this person's got lots of followers, I can trust that. You can't. A few years ago, you probably could trust it. You definitely can't now. Mm. But what it is engagement. So the reason why, if you've got two people with 100 million followers, something like that, you could have two people, and one of them can have, so Kim Kardashian, just as an example, because she gets a ridiculous amount of engagement. So if she does a post, in no time it's got comments and shares and likes. So she's very valuable to anybody who wants to work with her.
But exactly, somebody doesn't, and I can get the engagement. I can see the value in that. You know, that's like, okay, well, you've got all of these people in your ecosystem that you send a message out and all of those people respond. Okay, you've got many, many different dialogues about whatever post you've put out. Okay, that's very, very valuable. And then you've got others that have a similar sort of numbers in their ecosystem, they put out a message and it's like all you're hearing is crickets.
Yeah, and look for comments because the likes are easy to pay for, the followers. So you've got 10,000 followers on your Facebook page, but you do a post and literally nobody comments, nobody likes it, that's a little bit of a question that you've either gone past your bubble, which it could be a natural bubble that you did have followers and now you've dropped off and your popularity is waning, or it's that you paid for those 16,000 followers, they're not real, 10,000 followers or whatever I said previously, but you know, you paid for that block of followers and you aren't actually getting the engagement. If you're not getting the engagement, then they're not coming to the festival. They're not talking about the festival. They're not actual ears that are hearing about the festival and are going to come and take photos and share it, because that's why a festival is booking an artist who's got followers because it's free advertising for their festival.
Yeah.
I think I said that last week. You're picking the artist with the followers over the artist. If you've got two artists who are a similar talent level, you're always going to pick the one with the followers. And if they're, even if the one's got less talent, you may pick that one if it's got a lot more followers, because you want to get that engagement and that spread, because that brings more people to your festival, brings in more advertising dollars and helps the festival sustain, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But they do need to be very careful that those followers are legitimate, and comments.
Yes.
Comments on posts is a key one.
You can't really fake comments, can you?
No, and likes on lots of posts. So if you can look at all the, and you know, Instagram hid likes and they've just reintroduced it, so you can now say, I want to see likes. I want to see likes on posts.
Oh, so you opt in.
Yeah, you personally opt in to see
it. Because I think the reason why they took them away is because they wanted to take the stigmatization of not getting the amount of likes that you thought. So it wouldn't play on you.
And then they left it up to the end user. So it's not if I've got an Instagram account, I can't stop my followers from seeing the likes. They choose whether they want to see the likes. And like you say, it's not about me being able to brag about, hey, look at all my likes. It's about the person at the other end feeling like they have to then compete, seeing those numbers. They see all the other musicians getting, oh, they've got 500 likes and I don't, and they feel bad, or, you know, creative people.
We could open a real can of worms here and say, is that the fault of the provider of the app, or is that just society as a whole?
Yeah, that's another topic for another week. Talking about
in which I'll be standing on my soapbox saying that we should ban all reality television. But that's another story.
Good. Well, the reality TV that's not actually reality.
That's right.
Look, I mean, we've probably done well. Probably a note to kind of end on, really. But I mean, I think that people need to be careful. I think if you're any sort of artist, creator, person, whatever it might be, whether it's music or some other creative form, you just need to be a little bit careful with how excited you get about seeing those big numbers, or people who follow you seeing those big numbers, because it's about, as you said earlier, trying to build something that's sustainable and trying to build on the successes you've had. And there'll be ups and downs, and you're better off trying to personally game the algorithms, you know, look at tactics for, you know, what time of day is good to post for you, what works best, what kind of content works best. Is it video or picture or, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, I was posting quotes, and I'm going to start posting a few more on my Instagram. And I got a lot of engagement for that, because I said, look, words are my currency as a songwriter. So I was posting, you know, different quotes, different lyrics, mine, other people's lyrics, just on my Instagram. But I was getting people sending me personal messages saying, I'm really enjoying these posts. And some of them were inspirational quotes. Sure. So it's find things that work for you, you know, and try to replicate the things that work, and obviously maybe avoid the things that don't, or try to improve the things that aren't working, and, you know, try to navigate your way through, rather than just, hey, I just want numbers because numbers are important. It's, you know, you don't want to get on a festival wheel because you boosted your numbers, and then when you play the gig, either nobody,
you feel like Jay-Z against DMX.
But
you have nothing to back it up with.
Yeah. And the room's empty, or the crowd aren't getting what they're expecting for, or worse still, the event promoter is not quite getting what they expected.
Yeah.
They didn't get a boost of numbers through the door based on the fact that they thought you were really, really popular, and you're not maybe as popular.
You'll get that shot once, but you won't get it again.
Yeah. So it is a fine line, and you know.
So if you're an artist, you're there for the long haul, really. You're there for the long haul. Yep. Look at it as that. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And, you know, you are enough. You know, you don't need to bolster yourself artificially through paying for things like that. As again, this is just a personal thing, but words of advice, you are there and you're there for the long haul. It's got to be sustainable, you know. Your career is that. If you're a promoter, don't be so lazy and just look at the metric of how many likes they have. It's a holistic approach. You're dealing with a person.
Yeah.
You know.
But certainly
do a little bit of research.
Look for that engagement, you know, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, look for the engagement.
See if their fans are really vocal. And
in saying that, I mean, there are a lot of savvy promoters and there are a lot of savvy artists out there as well. Yeah. Not everyone's doing that, but you do come across examples of that from time to time, especially just on the local scene with, you know, pubs, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, give me some links and I'll have a look. You know, they won't even bother listening to the music. They'll just say, well, how many likes do you have on your Facebook page?
Yeah.
And then, oh, we'll book you in based on that. What a load of crap, you know. It's like, just take 10 minutes and do a little bit more research and just, you know, and if you're an artist, don't succumb to the temptation because it's a rabbit hole that you'll never, ever get out of.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it can really come undone easily and word of warning. But look, we could probably wrap it up and
absolutely.
Not sure what's coming up next week. You'll have to tune back in and find out. but thanks for listening out there in podcast land. Please, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, there'll be various, share it with your friends, send them a link. There'll be social media links where we've posted things that you can share it with your friends. Get the word out.
Share the love. There's lots of it to go around.
But use protection at the same time.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll leave it there. We'll catch up with you next week. It's been good. I'm Simon James Betts.
And I'm Corey Stewart.
We'll see you next week.
Bye for now.
Been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and CoreyStewartOnline.com. See you next week.